for the gift that he is to us as our church and part of our family. And I thank you for what he's going to bring. Would you give us ears to hear what he is going to bring to us this morning? And would you change us? Would we go out different because of what Paul brings? Amen.
Amen. Good morning. So the topic is, we're on like the paths of hope. And identity is today's topic. And so I looked at, am I in the way of the screen? Am I all right? Don't matter. Cool. I'll just like walk around and then it's all right. So we're on identity. And I looked at the dictionary definition of identity, which I quite liked. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Being what you are, basically. And so, for us as believers, we'll all know, and you'll find loads of verses to back it up, which I think I've put two on there, that we're called to be sons of God. And so that's our identity, is being a child of God. And so, the fact of being isn't just about knowing we're a child of God. The identity part is actually being that. What does it look like to be a child of God? And how do we move more into that? And the fullness of that and what that looks like. And so Romans 8:19 says, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And so I think if you look around, I think that we're making good progress on this. But I actually think there's so much more of me or us being revealed as sons and daughters of God. That actually there's so much more for us to step into that will impact the world around us. And how do we do that? And what does that look like? Are some of the things that we will touch on today. And I love how Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And how Jesus himself came as a son, but then he took 12 people who were ordinary guys. And by spending time with them and discipling them and teaching and training and equipping, He turned them into world changers. And I'm convinced that as we get their identity stuff, that that's what happens with us, that we become world changers as well. That it's not just the disciples who can be world changers, it's us. And that Jesus is the blueprint. So 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so he's so caught his identity and who he is in God. And he keeps following the model of Jesus and seeing what Jesus is doing and who he is, that he so lives that out that he's able to confidently say, hey guys, if you want to know what being a Christian is and how to live out and how to live out your identity, copy me. I'm not convinced I can fully say that yet in every area of my life. But I think that's the goal, is for us more and more in more areas of our lives to be able to say, hey guys, if you want to see what Jesus is like, if you want to know how to live it out, look at how I'm living. And if we live like that, I think it's an amazing place then that actually people around us and the world around us will start to see more of Jesus. Convinced they'll start to see more of Jesus the more we're imitators of him. And so the key part, which I'm going to spend most of my time on, is how do we do it? What does that look like? And so Matthew 7:24-27 is the parable of the wise and foolish builders, and says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, and yet the house stood because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the wind blew against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And I love that, that you can have exactly the same houses, they could look the same, and when it's nice and sunny and life's all good, there's no difference until the storm comes. And when the storm comes, you really see what the foundation is. And I think that's to do with our identity. Is our foundation of our identity based on who God says we are and his promises and his word? Or is it based on other things? And there's a difference between knowing what God says and that being my foundation. Because if it's actually my foundation, there's something solid about it. That when the storm comes, that's when you stand out. Because as everything else is crashing around. The guy who's in the sand, I reckon, if he was a Christian, for example, and I think he could be, that he hasn't fully built everything upon Jesus, he's probably praying out, being like, God, can you stop the storm? God, send people to help me to stop my house falling apart. And he'd be praying all these things. But the other guy, when the storm's happening, is completely at peace. Because nothing's falling apart. Why? Because his foundation is solid in what God says. And I think that's the challenge of being really honest, is what is my foundation like regarding my identity? Where is it really placed? What does it really look like if I'm really honest and dig down and check? Is there still bits of sand in my foundation? It might not be like my whole house. Are there still bits of sand? In which case, I need to do something about that. And so, for those of you, you probably all guessed now, for those of you who know me a bit, I'm someone who likes surfing and sea and all that kind of stuff. And so I've got two examples. So one is, I love when Jesus is in the boat and there's a storm going on. And he's with fishermen and they're all like scared they're going to die. And that's fishermen, so they're like good at being in storms. And Jesus is asleep. Which is a huge sign. If you're in a storm and you're asleep, that's a pretty good sign you're at peace, isn't it? To be asleep while your boat, like everyone else, is probably panicking and being loud, and he's asleep. That he's so secure in his identity of son, knowing it's not his time to die, that he's completely at peace. And yet the disciples are in exactly the same position, are stressed. But actually, they could be at the same peace that Jesus is, just if they twigged and add their foundation. Well, actually, because of who Jesus is, that affects who we are. Because of who we are and who he is, we can be asleep right now, or we can be at peace right now. There's nothing to fear. And I'm convinced that God wants to stir more of that in us, because then that becomes our witness to the world. So my next example is, which I think is my slides, is someone called Bethany Hamilton. And that's Bethany Hamilton at the age of 13 years old. And I'll move around and then different people get a chance to see. And Bethany Hamilton's dream was to become a professional surfer. She was doing really well in competitions. And at the age of 13, she had her arm bit off by a shark. And if you go to the next slide, you can see the big hole in her surfboard where the shark bit her arm off. And she wasn't even close to shore. She was far out, and they had to like paddle back, and she lost loads of blood. Like, I think it was like 60%, but if I'm wrong, you know, just forgive me for that. And so imagine that. Like, she's a Christian. She believes God's called her to be a professional surfer, and suddenly her arm's missing. What happens? And for me, that's a true test. Where's her identity placed? Is it placed upon what God says? And I think it's like around that time just before the arm got bitten off, was massively when she felt God was like professional surfer, as you call. And so how does she handle that? Does her life fall apart? Does she think, oh, that's it, I can never retrieve that dream, and let it all die? Which I think, as 13, losing your arm, that's fair enough, isn't it? That's a normal response. You could be like, well, perhaps it's not God's will. Perhaps I just missed it. I think that's completely normal. And I think, okay. So I want to read some stuff that she said. If you faced anything like me, if you're anything like me, you faced many obstacles in your life so far. Some made you stronger, solidifying your purpose, while others may have caused you to doubt what you've known to be true. No matter what you've been through, one thing I know is that with each struggle, we can either become stronger or get beat down. I've been able to come some of the most challenging obstacles because of the grace of God and because of his plan. I can remember being around 8 years old on the beaches of Hawaii, my birthplace, and confidently knowing God loved me and I was going to be a professional surfer. My confidence in these two things shaped the foundation of who I am today. Even when I was attacked by the shark at 13 and lost my arm, I've been stable in my mind and beliefs. Despite the challenges life has thrown at me, I've done so much more in my life than I ever could have imagined. Like, she wrestled with it a bit, but she knew that that was God's, because he said it, and he's trustworthy. That was still who she was called to be a professional surfer. And so, after having her arm bitten off and sewn up, it took her 4 weeks to get back in the water. 4 weeks. From having your arm bit off from a shark at 13 years old, you're back in the water. And then she has this up and down phase where she struggles, and because you try surfing anyway, it's hard enough. You try surfing with one arm and it's pretty much impossible. Particularly when you duck dive, which is when you go under waves, you hold your board.
Like that. Put your knee on.
Put your knee on and sink the board. But with one arm, she can't really hold the board. And so she tried to compete in some competitions. I think like a few months after the attack, she competed in competitions and didn't do that well because, and so went through this trial, but knowing that that's what God said, eventually her dad had come up with an idea that she could have a handle in the middle of a board. And that's how she surfs, a handle in the middle of a board, so that when she goes under, and she taught herself to push off in the middle of a board now. And so she achieved her dream of becoming a professional surfer. Why? Because her foundation is built upon what God says, not on her circumstance. And I think if anyone has the right to say, my circumstance has robbed me of my dream, that's her. But she says, no, I'll let God define who I am, and what he says is my foundation of who I am. Not what the world says or my situation says or anything else. What he says, that's my foundation. And was there pain, and was there things to process, and was there things to go through? Yes, there was. But if you handle them well, you can still achieve who God's called you to be. That it doesn't have to rob. And so you read on a little bit more, and this is what she says. So she's outscored some of the best female athletes, surfers in the world. And one of them, she finished third. She was a wild card in a competition. She finished third, and she beat the current world champion at the time. Like, she's not just an, like, all right-ish. Like, she is a phenomenal surfer just with one arm. She's had movies made about her, books about her. She's reached and going around the world to talk to thousands of amazing people. Today, she's a wife and mum of two beautiful, healthy boys, and this truth is still the same. God loves me, and being a professional surfer is my calling. The strength, identity, and foundation of my life is in the faith that God has given me. With God, I am unstoppable. Wouldn't you like to be that? To be unstoppable with him? And that's got nothing to do with your circumstances. It's got everything to do with your foundations. What's your identity? And I love, for me, that her identity, you just see Jesus. That's what you see. And actually, because of the arm being taken off, she doesn't blame God. She doesn't say it's his fault. She doesn't say, well, it's his will. She just says, all things work together for those who love him, and I have a greater opportunity to demonstrate how amazing he is than if I had my arm. And I love that. I love that. The hard times are actually the times, if we know our identity is, who can shape our identity and make us more in love with Jesus and stronger, or they can make us fall apart. But I think we're the ones who have the choice on that. So, some stories. So I'm going to talk about some stories from my life. And some different things. And I want to talk about some of my old foundations, how it changed, and what's my new foundation, and how does that impact? Because I believe knowing my identity fully affects my behavior, and hopefully not just Bethany Hamilton's one example, but actually showing that it's true in other things as well. And so when I was younger, say like 25, or maybe a bit younger than that, if you knew me then, you would notice a difference. So the Paul Stevens you saw in youth meetings was a lot freer than the Paul Stevens who was leading in adult meetings. And if you asked me at the time, I would say that's because I must just be because I'm called to young people. That's what, you know, what God's saying. And so a friend of mine called Kate started to really challenge me on it and was like, Paul, you're not the same person that you're like, what you're doing, you're either watering yourself down or you're holding back or there's something not right. And I'm like, ah, it's because I'm called to young people. And so I asked God, or God was on my case, and to say, well, what's really going on? And so he opened it up and revealed what was really going on. And the lie was, I was just called to young people. That was the lie. The truth was, actually, I am meant to be just as free around adults as I was around young people. The difference was, I gave a prophetic word to, or a few prophetic words to church, to my church that I was in when I was a young teen, and the church didn't listen to me. And they did the opposite. And the opposite caused loads of hurt and loads of mess, including me getting really hurt. And if they'd listened, the hurt and mess wouldn't have happened. Because actually, even as a teen, it was correct. What I brought was God. And so I had a choice at that time. And it hurt so much that I shut a lid on it, boxed it, buried it, to the point where I said, I never cry. And if you asked me at that point, do you cry? Have you cried? I'd have been like, yeah, as a kid, but never cry. That's just not who I am. And so as I went on, well then, why am I suddenly free around young people? Because it was young people who didn't hurt me. But it was adults who hurt me. And I shut down. And what did I believe about myself? No one listens to me. No one listens. And so when I talk to adults, it's like, no one listens. And I hold back and I shut down. But that wasn't who God created me to be. That's my foundation, living out of sand. That's why I wasn't strong enough to be secure to be who I was around adults. Because that's where my pain was. And so God uncovered that. And to have my foundation change, it took talking to people. It took breaking some of those lies. It took breaking some of those vows. The vow was, I'll never speak to adults. Like, I'll never bring stuff to church anymore. And so I had to break that and repent for that. And I had to forgive people in church for not listening. And I had to believe the truth of what God said about me. And the truth is, for me, I am who he says he is. And it's not my responsibility to change anyone. That's his responsibility. My responsibility is just to say what he tells me. And so if you don't listen today, that's all right. Not a problem. Because that's not my responsibility to change you or transform you. That's God's, you and God. And so now there's a security, and it's so secure that it's got worked through, and I've built upon that truth of what God says, that now if you're all like, you'll walk away today and you're like, Paul, that was a rubbish preach, I wouldn't fall a bit. Not because I don't care about you guys. Some of it might hurt a little bit, but you know what I do? I turn to my Heavenly Father and I say, Father, what do you think? Do you think that was a good preach? Do you think I missed it? What do you think? And if God's like, no, Paul, I think that was a good preach. Well, then I'm sorry, but I'd be secure in that. But if God said that was a rubbish preach, they were right. Well, then I still wouldn't fall apart because I know he still loves me and it's just a mistake. And so I just go back and say, thank you for your feedback. You were right. I missed it. And these are my changes. And I say, God, why have I missed it? And it might have been that I did it in my own strength. I remember doing one meeting that was the biggest disaster ever because I'm like, yes, I can do this preaching stuff. And I did it in my own strength. I probably lasted about 5 minutes before my wife shut me up and said, Paul, can you just be quiet? Because the preach was rubbish. And afterwards, did I fall apart? No. I said, thank you, Beth, for protecting me because you were right. I was rubbish, and the reason why I was rubbish, because I did it in my own strength, not in God's, and that's why I missed it. And so actually I can thank her for correcting me, not take it personally, because I'm secure by what my Heavenly Father says. And I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect yet, so I know I make mistakes, and I know he's amazing at forgiving mistakes. He just looks at me to say sorry and take responsibility, and then with him, we walk together into freedom. And so for me, those storms don't rob me anymore because I've changed my foundation. But they used to. And you know what? I had a choice. Removing that foundation of that pain and that hurt and forgiving, that hurt, it was costly. But it's worth it to be who he's called me to be. So when me and Beth first started going out, those who knew me at the time, and so when we first got married, Beth's like, if I die tomorrow, you wouldn't cry. You'd probably spend about half a day slightly sad, and then the next day you'd be back doing what God's telling you to do and carrying on with life. And if I'm honest, she was true. She was correct. And so did it mean I didn't love her? No, it didn't. I did love her, but I didn't love her like she loved me. And so that caused me a problem in that, well, what's going on, God? And so I asked him what was going on, and I realized that what was going on was I loved her probably close to my capacity, but my capacity with love was probably about, say, 10 measures, and her capacity to love was probably 100 measures. And so why did I only have 10 measures? And the reason I had 10 measures is the story I just told you earlier, that same story, I made a decision that I wasn't going to get hurt anymore. And so my ability to not get hurt anymore robbed me of my ability to love. And so I still loved, it was just low measures. And I actually thought this was a great strength. I actually started to believe the lie that God's made me to be someone who can handle difficult situations because I don't get hurt. And then when he showed me my foundation on that, I'm like, oh, I've missed it. And so I had to break some of those things again and give him a bit more pain when I'm like, I've already given you loads of pain from that situation, but a bit more. And it was also my granddad died when I was around that same age. I remember my parents saying, Paul's the strong one. And I remember being really upset, and I made a decision. I was going to be strong, and I shut down my ability to feel emotion. And it was those two situations. And so I broke the lie that I'm not the strong one. What's the truth? The truth is, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I realized I don't have to be strong anymore. I just have to be weak and weak in him, and then I can be strong. And so once I did that, well, then I can start to love as he loves again and to the capacity that he originally gave me to be. And so I remember if you had, like, it's funny now at, like, doing leadership again and stuff, of like people in Storehouse, which are great, think I'm reasonably pastoral. And you tell Kate that and she laughs, because Kate's known me for years, a friend of mine, and Beth from Pembroke. Why? Because you ask people who knew me at that phase of life, and they're like, oh, you don't go to Paul if you need looking after and pastoral stuff. If you've got an issue and you want it fixed really quick and you don't have time to get it sorted properly, go to Paul because he'll fix you really fast. But he doesn't dress it up. He's like the surgeon who just cuts you open, doesn't give you anesthetic. Just like, that's how brutal Paul is. You don't go to Paul unless you're desperate. Why? Why is Paul like that? Because I'm hurt and I've shut down. And my foundation isn't based upon what he intended. I allowed it to be based upon hurt and pain and hold that stuff and believe the lie that keeps the foundation in place until I give him permission to go after that and change it. And so the real me, I don't think I'm quite as soft and as gentle and as loving as Beth. But I do think, like, I watch, like, like God then took it to another level when my health failed. And like now I can't watch like Undercover Boss without crying. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, and I just never cried. But, and I have a choice then. I could like hide that. I could hide it. If I choose to start hiding it, I'm going to start to change my foundation again to cover who I am and bottle it back up again and not be true to who God's created me to be. And I think as sons and daughters of God, we're meant to stand out. Like Bethany Hamilton stands out. She stands out by the way she looks, but she stands out by who she is. I think we're meant to stand out. And what stops you from standing out? If you're called to stand out, you should stand out. Normally it's fear. But fear doesn't come from God, because perfect love casts out fear. If I've got fear about something, there's something wrong in my foundation. It might be that I fear about what people think about me. Well, that shows I'm not secure in what my heavenly Father says about me. Why? Am I willing to go after that and allow that to be uncovered so I can have my foundation changed to line up with what he says about me? And overcome fear again. And do I ask him those questions? God, what's going on in my heart? What's going on in my heart? Why am I reacting this way? And I think it's time to raise the bar. I can settle and say, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter I don't love like Beth. And settle, which I did until God highlighted it. Or I can say, well, wait a minute. I don't really love like Beth. Why? God, what do you say about that? And the good side of that question is he'll tell you. The bad side of that question is he'll tell you. Because then you go, oh no, I've got a choice now. Do I confront this and deal with it? Or do I leave it as it is? I can tell you now, Bethany Hamilton, we won't be talking about her if she didn't know who she was. If a 13-year-old can be so secure in what God says and who she is and wrestle that through, how much more has it got to be achievable for us? I think so. I think she's an example, not just someone who's amazing. She is amazing. But I think it's for all of us. He's created us to be sons and daughters and to be secure, to be world changers. And it's about our foundation that makes us world changers. As some of that shaping isn't comfortable, It's not comfortable. Some of the shaping I've had, I'm like, God, if I had a choice, would I want it? I think if I'm honest, I probably would. Because, so like when my health failed and I lost my job and church and everything else, do I really want that? No, but on the other hand, would I choose to go through it again? Yeah, why? Because I was involved in church leadership and all that. But when I stopped, do you know what? I had lost loads of things. I started to do stuff for God instead of with him. I'd lost loads of things of who I was. And actually stopping and uncovering. And it took me 2 years of chatting to be healed and restored. But going after it is well worth it. And so I think I'm meant to be at peace in every situation. Doesn't matter how big the storm is, I'm meant to be at peace. And I think that's achievable. Because my Heavenly Father and Jesus are at peace in every situation, even though it's really tough. It's just about going after the foundations. I think I'm meant to bring joy in every situation and love and all that lot. But I can't if I'm judging you. If my foundation is based upon judgment and judging and I haven't forgiven you, well, I ain't going to love you like Jesus loves you, because you're just going to wind me up. And I know that because I've done it to lots of people. And then God's challenged me, and I remember him challenging me on forgiving my mum, and I'm like, really? That's not fair. Like, can't she just apologize to me first and then I can forgive her? And that's great, because 90% of the issue is hers and 10% of the issue is mine. Yeah, relate. And do you know what he did? He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, it's up to you, but you need to learn to forgive. How do I start that? God, how do you love my mum? And that was the start of changing that foundation. How do you love my mum? And he showed me, and then he said, ask me how your mum loves you. And I'm like, ooh, I don't think my mum loves me. She did. She loved me really well, but I just didn't see it. My mum's great, by the way. In the end, when I had forgiven and worked it through, I would probably say 10% was my mum and 90% was me. And I'd also say I didn't care about my mum's 10%. I just cared about loving her like Jesus loved her and restoring the relationship. Why? Because the foundation changed. Because that's what Jesus has loved us. So, next slide, or, you know. Oh, that's small, isn't it? Hopefully I've got it written down because I can't read that. And I'm wrapping up. You'll be pleased to know. So how do we change our foundations? Oh, Ed, can you find it on that sheet of paper? It's one of the last slides. Ah, perfect, thank you. So how do we change our foundations? I think the biggest one is do you want to give Holy Spirit permission to do that? Do you actually want to know what's really going on inside you? Because if you do, well then, it's great, but you're going to have to do something about it potentially. Or you can choose to ignore it, but that I found that becomes uncomfortable. Ignorance is bliss, as they say. What do I really believe? Does it line up with who and what God says, his word says, about who I am, who he is, and his view of people? And if you really ask him that question, he'll start to show you. And he'll go, you think you're rubbish. I think you're amazing. Which one's right? And then why? Why do you think you're rubbish? I got told at school that I'd get an E in GCSE English if I was really lucky. But I was most likely to get an F. And you can think you're rubbish because of that. I didn't, because I said, well, God, what do you think? And he said, I think you're great. So I'm like, okay, I'll do this in your strength. I got 2 C's for English. But if I'd given up and believed what they said, I wouldn't have got 2 C's. I probably would have got my E or F. I got an F in French. Well then, I hated the teacher. The teacher hated me. She told my parents that. I told my parents that. So we all agreed. And did I involve God in that area of my life? Nah. I didn't. So what'd I get? An E. I didn't involve God in that area of my life. I didn't want him. I didn't want to, if I'm honest. But I could say my other GCSEs, I did my best. That one I didn't. Why? Because my foundation was I didn't like my teacher. Until I forgave her, I wound her up a rattle treat. But until I forgave her and repented of all that, that wasn't going to change. It's foundation. So who do you need to forgive? God. That's a big one. Others, yourself. Who have you judged? God. Others, yourself. Do you still carry pain from things? Have you given your pain to God? I hadn't. I used to box it. Have I made some vows? I'll never speak to adults again, God. So they don't listen anyway. And how do we remove them? Well, once I know what it is, like forgiveness, once I know I need to forgive someone, how did they make me feel? If Ed crashes into my car, I can forgive him for crashing into my car. Or I can say, I forgive Ed for making, he did it on purpose, by the way. Hypothetically, yeah. I can forgive him for making me feel angry. I can forgive him for making me feel unloved. Going after the specifics. And so then I need to start to deal with those things. Repent, break the lies. Find out what God really says. Find out what he really says about people. And start to change some of our foundations. And then I think we'll be like the wise builders. And when the storms are happening and everyone's house is falling down, people will knock on our door. And they'll come into our house and we'll create safe places for people. reveal who Jesus is and help them get saved and healed and restored. And isn't that what's written up there? That one? That's how we do it. Have I still got some more foundations to sort out? Yes. Am I all sorted? No. You just ask people who know me really well. They'll tell you. Chris has permission, so do others, that if they detect they've got bad attitude, they can just go, which basically means, Paul, your attitude sinks, shut up. Why? Because I want to change. I don't want to not be like Jesus. And sometimes I miss it and I don't know it. Sometimes I miss it and I know it and I want to miss it. But when they still tell me, it probably does shut me up and helps me to process and be more like Jesus. So we're going to move into response, because I've talked way too much, and be good to do breaking of bread. I would love, as part of breaking of bread, you ask Jesus this question: God, show me one thing in my foundation that isn't built upon you. One thing where I'm holding fear, I'm holding unforgiveness, where I'm holding lack of hope, whatever it is, show me that one thing, and God, what's the root of it? And so, what's it about? It's an exchange at the cross. He paid the price for everything when he died on the cross, so that I can be forgiven, I can be healed, I can be restored. And that's why I think breaking of bread is great to do it now, to say, well, this is my one thing. God, I want to come, and as I come to the cross, I will forgive Ed for crashing into my car. And I'll say, God, who do you think Ed is? And I want to see Ed through your eyes, and I'm going to love him as you love him. And I think that exchange can happen this morning as we come to the cross. And so I'm just going to pray, and I'll hand over to Ed. But only pray this if you mean it. If you don't mean it, don't pray it. I won't take offense. God won't take offense. So Father, I thank you for the example of Bethany Hamilton, that she had her foundation at 13 years old built upon what you said. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, we give you permission. Any areas of our life that our foundations aren't built upon you, you will show us that our identity can be rooted in you, not rooted in anything else. And so we just give you permission to show us, and we want to have an exchange this morning at the cross where we start to change our foundations and start to believe what you say about us and who you say we are, so that we can be a people who bring hope, love, and joy and freedom to lives around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let me just give some instructions and then we'll do communion. Is that all right? So because we're a bit short on space at the front with the crazy setup that we have, Andy's going to be a bit of a conductor of ceremonies down the aisle. So the idea is you come forward, have communion, and then go down the side back to your seats, wherever that is, just because we think that will be safer. So Andy's going to do that. But just whilst, before we do that, can we just, let's just put our hands out in front of us again. I like this posture because it says, God, I'm open to you. God, I need you. And just bring that one thing to mind that Paul's been talking about. Or maybe if you're like me, a bit of a mess at times, there's a whole load of things. That's okay too. God can deal with loads of things. He can deal with one thing. Whatever's going on, whatever stood out to you right there when Paul was speaking, just bring that to mind. Yeah. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe there's a lie you're believing. So we're gonna have communion together. The healing room.